The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to hour number two of the broadcast. So excited tonight to talk about one of my favorite topics, jazz music. And for those of you that don't know me and don't know my background, I was a jazz trumpet player early in my life, played trumpet from the age of 10 years old, was in a touring band. That's how I met my wife back when I was in my early 20s. And over the years, I have to tell you, of all the trumpet players I've listened to, and I have an enormous library of jazz trumpet players. There is really one trumpet player that I could tell you. I mean, right off the top of my head, if you ask me who's your favorite, Chet Baker. And there's so much I love about Chet Baker's playing. I admire his musical contributions so much. And I was excited to see that there's a new movie out about his life. I've heard mixed reviews about the Ethan Hawke movie called Born to Be Blue. I've heard mixed reviews about it. I have not seen it, so I can't really comment on it. But I'm excited that Chet Baker is back in the news again, because maybe this will bring Chet Baker to a whole new generation of people that can appreciate his amazing music and contribution to jazz.
We're proud to present, all the way from the sunny shores of California, the James Dean of Jazz, the Prince of Cool. And he's here playing a double bill with our very own Miles Davis and Dizzy Gillespie. Making his Birdland debut, Chet Baker and his quartet.
You want some advice, Baker? Go back home to the beach, man. Come back when you've lived a little.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, stay.
You come a long way, Valentine. But
it's not your playing that I'm worried about.
Miles said come back once you lived a little.
I lived a little.
I want to play. All I want to do is play.
I want my life back.
And joining us tonight is a longtime friend and drummer of Chet Baker's, and his book is called Chet Baker, The Missing Years. It's a memoir by Art Frank. And Art Frank is with us. Good to have you with us, sir.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for that nice build-up on Chet, because he truly was the greatest lyrical player who ever lived.
Yes, and I don't want to give you any short shrift yourself, because you were inducted into the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame in 2010. Some of the people that Art Frank has played with, I mean, not just Chet Baker, if that is not enough, Charlie Parker, right. Cad Dameron, Dexter Gordon, Sonny Stitt, right. Miles Davis, Bud Powell, Jimmy Heath, Al Cohn, Ted Kersen. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You're a legend in and of your own right, sir. And thank you again for joining us to share your love for Chet Baker. Oh, I wanted you to start by relating the story of how you first heard Chet Baker, because I love that part of your book. I can almost imagine being in that ship with you, hearing Chet on the radio. What an iconic picture that paints. Tell us about your first moment of hearing the trumpet player Chet Baker.
I was in the mess hall, on the way home after the Korean War, and I heard this trumpet player playing the tune, you know, the ballad called Imagination, and that was followed by a thing called The Lamp Is Low. I said, who is that? You know, I'd played with cats before at Birdland and Royal Roost in New York City in late 48, 49. And when I heard this trumpet player, I said, I wonder who this was. And the disc jockey came on the air, and he said, that was the young ex-Army trumpeter by the name of Chet Baker. Well, I said a prayer right then and there that I could meet this man. Just to meet him would be all right with me, let alone to play with him. But I'd meet him about a year later. I was living in Maine at the time, and I drove down to the place called Storyville, run by George Weens, and it was in the Copley Square Hotel. So I walked up to him during the first break, and I said, hey, Chet, Art Frank, remember me? And he looked at me and says, no. No, I don't, man. So anyway, I felt so embarrassed. But anyway, he hung by for a few minutes. Then he said, where were we supposed to have met? And I said, I can't lie to you, Chet. We never met. But I heard you coming home from Korea after the Korean War. And I heard you. Anyway, he was so nice to me, Jim. He invited me outside. I offered him a cigarette. He didn't smoke at that time. And we were watching, as you know, there's a book space, watching along Copley Avenue, cars going by. And he said to me, and it astounded me, he said, you know, if I hadn't been a trumpet player, I would like to have been a race driver, driving a car in Le Mans and winning the race. Well, that almost knocked me over.
Yeah, that was a fascinating part of your book. And for those people, you know, who might be listening tonight saying, Chet Baker, the name doesn't ring a bell. Let me tell you, folks, even just in Starbucks, think about that. I'm sitting in Starbucks drinking coffee, which I spend a lot of time at the local Starbucks. And Chet's coming on all the time now at Starbucks. It's like he's never gone anywhere. I love that his music still lives on. You know, I know you haven't seen the movie. My producer told me that. But, you know, one of the things, Art, that I'm excited about with the new movie is maybe this will bring more people, you know, to Chet's music. I mean, maybe people, just out of curiosity, whether the movie's good, bad, or otherwise, will draw some people to Chet just maybe out of curiosity. Did you see the, what was the movie called where Matt Damon was singing as Chet Baker? I remember the movie, and it was tremendous to see, you know, The Talented Mr. Ripley was the movie.
There you go.
Yeah, and so he gets up on the bandstand there. He's in the movie, of course, playing the partner offset to Johnny Depp, and he gets up there and sings My Funny Valentine as Chet Baker. And for those that don't know Chet Baker, who he is, if you heard the voice, and we had some clips we were going to play tonight, but due to some technical issues up at our headquarters in Minneapolis, we're not able to play those clips. But his hallmark song was My Funny Valentine. In fact,
you know, it's funny you
go ahead,
that.
Sir.
It's funny you said that, because I remember when I first met Chet, I was driving along. After about 12 years, Jim, I didn't get the opportunity to go to Birdland to stand in with him like he wanted me to do. And I wouldn't run into him again until about 12 years later in Los Angeles when I was living out in L.A. And I happened by the Dante's Jazz Club in North Hollywood, and I saw his name on the marquee. Well, I stopped so fast, I nearly hit a hydrant. And I ran across and walked into the club, and there was Chet, and he wasn't playing. Man, when it came around for him to do a solo, he could not. He lifted his horn, and he played maybe two, three notes at best. And I was flabbergasted. And he sang a lot. You know, he sang a lot. And when he came down to the stage, I threw that same line at him again. I said, Art Frank, remember me? he said, you know, he talks high. He says, no, I don't, man. And then I related the story about he and I watching the cars go by in Copley Square. He said, are you that cat, man? I said, yeah.
Yeah, so there you met him up in the Northeast, then you meet him in Southern California.
Yeah,
and for those people that don't know the story, the reason why he wasn't playing well and you get into this in your book, was he was savagely beaten by what was it, four or five attackers
five.
And saw five attackers in Sausalito, California.
That's right.
Losing most of his front teeth. I have to share with you quickly before our first break. In 2009, I went to Southern California with my son, who's also a huge Chet Baker fan. We're both trumpet players. We went to Chet's gravesite to pay our respects. We also went to see the amazing Jack Sheldon playing at a jazz club called Charlie O's.
I know.
We then talked with Jack during every break about Chet Baker.
Yeah.
And he told us story after story about his friendship with Chet Baker. So that's my only connection. I wish so much, like you, I could have met Chet Baker myself. But we're going to get into the story and all the details when we come back from the break.
All right.
Such an amazing talent, but yet he was haunted by a problem with drugs. And we're going to talk about Art Frank's friendship over 20 years, how he dealt with sort of the dark side of Chet, and the sadness that you can really hear in almost all of his music. We'll take a break. When we come back, we continue our discussion on Chet Baker, The Missing Years. Stay tuned. Hello, everybody. This is radio talk show host Jim Paris for FreeSurvivalGifts.com. If you're a survival buff like me and like to try out the latest survival gear and gadgets, then you're going to absolutely love FreeSurvivalGifts.com. At FreeSurvivalGifts.com, you will find a wide array of survival gear, books, and videos that are all 100% free. That's right, just pay your own shipping. Now, I know you're asking, why is all of this survival gear free? Well, the companies offering this gear are doing so as a way to promote their brand and introduce new products. Check it out today, FreeSurvivalGifts.com. Pick up one or more free survival items for you and your family. That website again is FreeSurvivalGifts.com. Check it out, FreeSurvivalGifts.com.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Destroy harmful bacteria, allergens, bed bugs, dust mites, fleas in your home with the Ladybug Steam Vapor System. The Ladybug dives deep on surfaces without any toxic residue. Traditional control agents contain toxic chemicals which do more harm than good. Sanitize and disinfect using just water. Quick, fast, and surprisingly easy.
Find out more now by calling 800-997-6584. Ask for Randy. That's 800-997-6584. Or go to advap.com/GCN. That's advap.com/GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up
in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, we are back. We're talking about the legendary jazz trumpet player Chet Baker with his longtime friend and drummer, who is a Hall of Fame drummer and a fantastic musician, wonderful guy. His name is Art Frank, and that's Art with two T's. And you can find this book about Chet Baker's life over at Amazon.com. It's called Chet Baker, The Missing Years. You can find it for paperback or on Kindle if you're somebody that reads on Kindle. I'd encourage you, though, to get the physical book. It's a wonderful keepsake, and there's a great picture of Art there on the cover. We're going to talk the rest of the hour here about Chet, both the music, Art, as well as the man. Let's start by talking a little bit about the music. Chet's music, to me, is the most relaxing jazz music for me to listen to. You know, I have all the albums, Chet. I've got Clifford Brown. I've got Miles Davis. You know, I've got Lee Morgan. I've got all the other trumpet players, the names, you know. But the one that, if I'm looking to just relax for an evening, it's got to be Chet Baker. It just makes me relax. And there was like a sadness. You mentioned this in your book. There was a sadness in his music, which made it almost irresistible. What was that sadness we heard through the music?
Well, he was Chet was a very honest player. That's what comes out, the lyrical, the honesty and the pain in the pathos and come out in his playing. And even the up-tempo stuff, Chet always preferred to play in a, you know, a quartet, quintet kind of a format in a club, because that allowed him to stretch out, which he did a lot. I've heard a lot of stuff of Chet and I really stretching out. But the more melancholic stuff, the sadness came from his childhood, in that his mother was always coddling him, and his father was always kind of angry at her coddling him. And he said, let the kid be a man, you know, so on and so forth. And that was always one of Chet's great mysteries. And I asked him one time, I said, Chet, where does this poignancy come from? I don't see it in your mother. I didn't see it in your father. I didn't meet his father, but I knew his mother very, very well. And it was just something. He was a lonely kid, for one thing. He was a lonely child. And that played a lot in his poignancy. And he told me one time that he went to school in Glendale and studied harmony and theory for about a month or two, and he didn't want to play what anyone else had played before him. He wanted to be his own man, so to speak. So that's what it was, Jim, the fact that he wanted to be himself, not to copy anyone. And I want to straighten the record out right now as far as him copying Miles Davis, which is a complete total error. Chet was a totally, completely ear player, never studied, never practiced, etc. Miles Davis was a trained, Juilliard-trained musician, and there is a difference. The one Chet was motivated by the most was a guy by the name of Freddie Webster. That's where he got his sound from. He liked the way and the direction that Miles was going in, and that's the only combination that was that could allude to Miles, was that Chet liked the direction in which Miles was going, and that's the way he went.
Yeah, and you know, Chet could play all those fast licks like Miles Davis, but Miles Davis could never sing or bring that lyricism to his horn like Chet Baker, which is why Chet really crossed over. He was popular outside of the jazz world, not only with the women because he was a handsome young man, but also his sound, because so many of the jazz players of the day, it was about playing in a way to impress the other inside baseball jazz guys. It wasn't about playing those beautiful lyrical sounds that Chet played, which really drew in the non-jazz person who didn't
Romantic, Jim.
Yeah.
Chet was a romantic, you know that. You can hear that in his playing. And but I just wanted to straighten it out. I remember playing with Charlie Parker when I was about 16 and a half years old. And Bud Powell was on piano. I think it was Curly Russell or I can't think. And Tad Dameron was on piano. And I walked up to Bird and I asked him if I could play. And he had me stay around until about 2 o'clock in the morning and I finally played. And I came back about 7 months later and he was really impressed with what I did. And the thing that people don't understand about Bird was a romantic himself. He loved lyricism. He liked the harmony. He loved the melodicism. And I think that's what he loves so much about Chet, was Chet had that quality about him, that pure lyricism, that pure harmonic. You know, and most people don't have that, Jim. They just don't have it.
And when he played his trumpet, it really sounded like he was singing through his trumpet.
Right.
And I know that the breathiness became more of a sound after his injury, after he was beat up. But, you know, it almost sounds in many ways like the sound of a flute. You know, hearing that breath through the horn became a trademark that today you hear players like a Chris Botti trying to sound like that breathiness, which was, I don't think that was intentional, was it? The breathiness sound was just a factor of his injury.
Let me explain how he got that. After he got beat up in 1966, I saw him again in early 67. And like I said, I alluded to, he wasn't playing. After about a month, I got him back his flugelhorn, and then with the promise that he'd start playing, and he did, but he did not practice as you would say practice. He would do like triads, like, that's all he'd do. And after about a month and a half, he started playing a song called I Love You, which was off of Chet Baker and Strings album. But he couldn't play the whole tune until about 3 or 4 months later. And when he got that tune complete, he would go into the bathroom and open up the door, which there was like a sheet linen closet. And he would put his horn into the linen closet and blow into the linen closet so as not to disturb anyone. And he would do this over a period of two to three months. And at the end of 3 months, he'd come out and he'd play in the kitchen, and you would hear the air come through the horn before you hear the tone. Like you go, she, like, the. The air would precede the tone, and that's where that flute sound came from, that melodic, melophilous tune sound. And that's how he developed that sound, which was completely, totally different than anyone I'd ever heard before in my life.
And it's a beautiful sound, and it just goes to show you that here's a guy who's, you know, of course, endured a lot of criticism about the drugs and the arrests and the prison, but here's a guy that had the personal fortitude when he loses his front teeth, which anybody that's ever tried to play a trumpet, you try to play a trumpet without your front teeth, but he has the personal fortitude to develop a whole new embouchure and relearn to play the trumpet and to play it not just, he wasn't trying to, maybe he was trying to get his original sound back, but he couldn't get that sound. So he develops this new sound, which in a strange twist turns out to be a more beautiful, more endearing sound than the sound that he had before the injury.
He developed three embouchures, Jim. One on the right side, one on the left, and one in the middle. You see, the doctors, three doctors and a neurosurgeon told him he would never play trumpet again. And he said because he had permanent, trigeminal nerve damage to both sides of his jaw and his mouth. And when I first started going, you could not believe the pain that he would have to endure just to play, Jim. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, I talk about it in my book, but I can't describe it any more than to say that whenever he tried to play, the pain on either side of his mouth or his jaw was just excruciating.
I can imagine. And for people who have not been to see a small jazz quartet or quintet play, these men are on their instruments for typically 3 to 4 hours, sometimes 5 hours. So this is a long night of a lot of playing. And without your front teeth, amazing to hear the backstory. When we come back from the break, Chet Baker, the dark side, drugs, prison, and his eventual death, which was very, very sad. We'll have all that right after this. Stay tuned.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad. But boy, was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live.
I highly recommend the book here, folks. A great book, whether you're a jazz fan or not. It's a fantastic story, the story of Chet Baker. Chet Baker, The Missing Years. My guest is Art Frank, and some of the endorsements on the back of the book here. Dave Brubeck, Doug Ramsey, Jerome DeValk. And I've read several of the books about Chet Baker. This is my new favorite book about Chet Baker, and we're so excited to have his longtime friend and former drummer with us, Art Frank. And Art, before we get into some of the dark stories about Chet, one of the stories that really touched me in the book was you were with Chet and he saw a homeless guy. It was cold outside. He asked the guy to try on his coat.
Oh,
he
yeah.
did. And Chet said, keep it. And he walked away without a coat for himself. And that's the side of Chet that you wanted this to see in this book, that Chet is not, as we might see in the movie, this drugged out guy that plays the trumpet, who's self-centered. There was a very caring and generous side to Chet Baker. Talk to that for a moment.
Well, I remember even in California, we were sitting in a restaurant on Sunset Boulevard, and we were in Denny's restaurant. It's called Denny's Restaurant. Anyway, Chet happened to look outside and see this guy dumpster humping or putting his, he was down inside of a can, you know, a trash can, looking for something. Chet said, look at that cat, Art. You know, no one cares for him, so he went outside, got the guy, and brought him inside and bought him breakfast. This was back in 1968 when he had nothing himself. And then later on in New York City, when we were working together in New York City, Lisa, my wife Lisa, and Chet and I were walking down towards the 7th Avenue South to get down to the Sweet Basil's or the Vanguard. And while we were there, we saw these three black kids and two Puerto Rican kids around this barrel fire trying to keep warm. One of the kids didn't have a jacket. So Chet took his coat off. It was like a nice jacket. And he said to the kids, try this on, man. And the kid looked at Chet like, you kidding me? So he tried it on. He says, does it fit? And he says, yeah. He says, keep it, man. It's yours. And we walked on.
And, wow.
I mean,
And that's a side of him we don't see in a lot of these other books. But truthfully, there was a drug problem. And I know you address it in your book. You talk about when you first met him, he asks you to take him to a barber shop. You find out it's really not a barber shop, that something else is going on there. And how did Chet Baker go from growing up in Oklahoma to getting into a life of drugs? You know, so many people like this, Art, that I've known, that are these amazing, talented people. They have this demon of the drugs or alcohol that comes along with that talent. What's your theory about how he got into all of that?
It wouldn't be a theory. It's a fact. It's not a theory. That's the thing. When I wrote Chet's book, it was nothing dealing with theory or fabrication or any end or history. This is all fact. What I told was the mere naked truth. I didn't gloss it over. Chet, when he was working with Jerry Mulligan in 1951 or 52 at the place called The Hague in Los Angeles, he noticed a guy who was smoking pot. Now, as I told you before, Chet never smoked a cigarette, and he used to drink a lot of milk. Anyway, this guy would come to Chet and would ask Chet if he wanted, he said, make you play a lot better. Chet would tell him, no, I'm playing good enough as it is now. I don't need that stuff. So anyway, make a long story short, one time he's in the alley talking to Jerry, and Jerry himself said, you want to try this stuff? So Chet said, no, I didn't want it. So he leaves and goes inside. This guy comes up, and he puts something in Chet's pocket. It was some kind of a cigarette, rolled-up cigarette or something, he said. And he said he didn't try it until the next night. He lit it up. He said all he did was laugh. It was a marijuana. And he started doing it after that. So he said he had a certain high, and as it was, you want to keep that high, so to speak, you know, because it was still relaxing, so cool. Anyway, it wouldn't be until about 2 or 3 years later when he was in New York City playing that some guy, I can't mention his name, took him up to the room and asked him to try it. And Chet said, no, he would not try it. We're talking about heroin here. And Chet said he would not try it. So they kept hopping on Chet to try it. So one time he said, I'll try it intramuscular rather than intravenously. So we tried a pop in the skin, what's called a skin pop. That's just under the skin in the muscle, not the vein. And Chet said he didn't feel anything. The next time he did, he tried intravascular, and that's when he got hooked.
So he's one of those people where had he not ever tried it, he wasn't someone that was naturally attracted to this.
No,
this is what I was getting
was
at. Because he was raised in a home where this was not something, you know, he was raised by a good mother.
Right.
We know that. And he would not have been out looking for this. But once he got addicted to it, then things turned dark. And are the stories true about the hawk? He would take and pawn his trumpet time after time after time. I know in your book.
He would pawn it. No, he would. Most of the time his horn would be stolen. I mean, when he got downbeat, 1954 downbeat Metronome Awards, he was very hot. I mean, the guy was a star. And he had two trumpets. I know of the fact it was stolen off him, because I met him in 1954, and it was a year later he had his horn stolen. Now, that story about him hawking his horn only happened one time. That was in L.A. when he needed money. Conversely, not for drugs, but to give food to his wife and three kids. So, you know, a lot of writers overlook the fact that he was a brilliant genius of a musician, and every time he'd do something, Jim, they always thought he was shooting up. But most of the time, he wasn't. And I remember playing with, at the Melody Room, he had to go off the stand three times in two sets. And everyone was saying, he's going to take a shot, he's going to take a shot. But that wasn't what it was, Jim. He was going to put some false teeth powder into his bridge because it kept coming loose in front of his mouth.
Wow.
He was guilty so many times of things he wasn't even shooting up at that time.
And the one time that he did pawn his horn, as you mentioned in your book, you were kind enough to help him get his horn back.
I bought it back, exactly. But and Chet was not responsible for all of the stuff that goes on, Jim. Take my word for it. He was not that kind of a guy at all.
And he was a family man like you. He had
Absolutely.
Children. And you had children, and you were both married. So you had a lot of commonality. Do you still have contact with his adult children these days, who I guess his son Paul is in charge of his estate and all of that? And are you still in touch with the family?
No, because Carol is back home in England with Dean and living in her late mother's home. And Missy's someplace in Oklahoma. And as I said, Paul is doing quite well. He's running the Chet Baker estate down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and doing quite well as far as I know.
Is there any talk of a Chet Baker museum or anything along those lines to really give tribute to him?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you mentioned at the top of the show, when I was inducted into the Jazz Hall of Fame in Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame is up, from what I understand, offered him a place with Chet's memorabilia to be housed in the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame. Yeah, that's what he says. So all this stuff is right there to be seen. I don't know how much he's got of it, but they are kind enough to let the memorabilia of Chet Baker be alive there. And my former wife, Jim, did a beautiful bronze sculpture of Chet, which is in Rutgers University, and it's one over in France. It's just a beautiful sculpture. I put it on the back of one of my CDs. So, yeah, I just hope and pray, Jim, that people really start to know the Chet Baker that I knew, not what you see in motion pictures, you know, because Hollywood has a way of doctoring things up. You know, I just don't like it. I want the truth to be told about Chet.
Art, before our break here, do you know, did his family retain rights to any of his music? Or, you know, when we buy a Chet Baker album today, does the family see any of that money?
Well, no, but they're trying. Carol, before she left to go back to England, tried her darndest to get things going. Now, as I understand it now, I think Paul has taken care of that, whereby if someone uses his name or his music, they have to go through the Chet Baker estate. So I think that part is right.
All right, we're going to take another break, our last break, and then our final segment with our special guest, Art Frank. And we're going to talk about the death of Chet Baker. I just came back from Italy myself and want to relate a story from Italy, Lucca, Italy, and Chet and his years in prison. And then we want to talk about his death, supposedly falling out of a window of a hotel. We'll get to all of that. And our final segment here with Art Frank, the book, Chet Baker, The Missing Years. We'll be right back. Hi, this is radio talk show host Jim Paris. And if you are like me, you hate all of those monthly bills. Well, I reached the point about 3 years ago that I decided enough was enough, and I went to war with my personal stack of monthly bills. I canceled cable TV and legally connected my television to the internet, and now I get hundreds of free TV channels, and I don't pay for cable TV. I found a little-known way of getting free home phone service for life, and I discovered a totally legal way to opt out of Obamacare and cut my health insurance bill by more than 60% per year. If you want to learn more about my personal war on monthly bills, check out my website, christianmoneyplus.com. That's christianmoneyplus.com. Quickbooks.com. If you're just plain sick and tired of those monthly bills, check out my website, ChristianMoneyPlus.com.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't take on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You are listening to Jim Paris Live.
All right, this is our final segment. My guest is Art Frank. His book, Chet Baker, The Missing Years, fantastic book. I highly recommend it. I have to share this story with you, Art. So I was playing in the second floor of a jazz club in St. Augustine, Florida, here about 5 years ago. And yeah. I was playing on my flugelhorn, My Funny Valentine. A guy comes up the stairs, bursts into the jazz club, and he says, Chet Baker, Chet Baker. And he's from Germany, this guy. Couldn't speak a word of English, yells Chet Baker, comes up and talks to me during the break in German. I didn't understand a word he said. He just said Chet Baker a few more times, and we kind of smiled at each other, agreeing that we weren't going to be able to have a conversation.
Yeah.
But Chet was huge in Europe. People don't realize how big he was in Europe.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just came back from Italy, and one of the towns we visited, Lucca, was supposedly his favorite town to stay in when he was in Italy. There was a hotel there called Hotel Universo, and there's a room there, room number 15, that Chet would sit in the window.
That's right.
And he would play his trumpet. And then I remembered how he died, and I'm connecting the dots in my head. And here's the story. It says, at 3:10 a.m. on May 13th, 1988, Chet Baker was found dead in the square below his hotel room at the Hotel Prince Hendrik in Amsterdam. And there's all these different theories about, was he pushed out the window? You know, was he in a struggle with somebody? But wasn't this something he did, was sit in the window and play his trumpet when he was on the road?
Well, for one thing, in that particular room he was in, there was really no room for him to sit. I don't care. I had two of my musician friends and the motion picture actors go over and check it out, and they said it was impossible. I don't believe he fell. I don't believe he... I know he didn't. You know, because the night he died, before he died, he called me from Amsterdam? No, no, I'm sorry, what's the name of the place? Oh, Rotterdam. And said he was on his way to Amsterdam. And he said he had a feeling that someone was after him because someone had come into his room a week earlier and stolen his passport. That he had called Carol, and he'd called me, and he said he'd asked Carol to get him a birth certificate so he can get a new passport. He was distinctly very troubled. He said
really?
That someone was out to... Yeah. He talked to me, like I said, the day before he died. And he said that he felt that someone was out to get him, and someone didn't want to leave him the country. And he was a little scared, to be honest. And Chet was never afraid of anything, but he seemed so much... excited. I never heard him being that way before. And I think my personal opinion is that I got a photograph of Chet lying on the ground. I didn't see any blood, and he had his hands folded together and one leg over the other, like he was going to sleep in a fetal position. And a guy falling out a window don't land and put themselves in a fetal position. No, I don't. Carol believes he was murdered.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, Carol believes he was murdered. I mean, it was very suspicious. It's easy to say he was pushed out of a window. It's easy to say he committed suicide. I know Chet was not suicidal in any way, shape, or form. Hey, Jimmy had called me the week before, wanted me to go to Vanguard to talk to Max Gartner, who owned the Vanguard, to get him a gig there so we could play there when he come back a little earlier. So,
and anybody that ever visits Amsterdam, there is a... I've never seen it in person, but I want to see it someday. The beautiful plaque.
Yeah, I've got it right
picture.
Here. I'm looking at it right now. I've got it right here.
Yeah,
yeah,
really
fantastic.
Amazing. Do you know who did that? Who did that bronze? It's stunning how much it really captures Chet in so many ways.
I don't have a name offhand, but I do know who it is. I'll see if I can find and contact you. I've got your telephone number.
Yeah, I'd love to know who that is.
It's a
beautiful
really
piece that they took the time to do that. Now, let me ask you this as we close it out here, just a couple of minutes left.
Sure.
Would you're in your 80s now. I hope you don't mind me saying that.
83
years old.
Yep.
I guess when you're in your 80s, you don't mind people saying your age anymore.
Would you be
one of the last living bandmates of Chet Baker?
Well, no, because there's a lot of young guys on me, but I was the last drummer that worked with him. I knew him for about 38 years before he died, but I was the last drummer to work with him. No, there are a lot of bandmates around. Like, I just talked to, like, Phil Marco's a great jazz pianist. He's still very active today. Harold Danko's a great jazz pianist also, and there's Hal Galper still around, and Cameron Brown and Scott Lee, they're still around.
Some of the younger players that played with him, you would be probably one of his last living contemporaries, however.
Oh, yeah,
I would definitely say that. And do you know if there do we have all of Chet's music, or is there a lost album coming out or anything like that that you know of?
Jim, I've got the live tape that Chet and I did on the comeback in 1968-69 in Hollywood. I've got other stuff Chet and I in New York that we played several clubs. No, it's not all. He was the most recorded guy in history. I mean, everyone always snuck a tape recorder into the place while we were working. And I always try to tape Chet. There's more recordings of Chet out, Jim, that could, if they all came out here, something like 410 albums, believe me.
Wow, he was already prolific. What did he have, over 50 albums?
Oh, no, recorded, he had about 211 recorded albums.
My funny Valentine, sweet comic Valentine, you make me smile with my looks are like Unphotographable. Yet you're my favorite work of art. Is your figure less than Greek?
What, one last guy's sure. name we've got to bring in here, Herb Albert, who was such a wonderful man, how he helped Chet out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in the 60s, you know, when rock and roll was prevalent in the country, it was hard to get a gig anyway, especially for a jazz musician. But he was very nice in that he brought Chet to A&M, and he had Chet record a couple of, like, what do you call those kind of things, the mariachi brass, featuring Chet playing his own stuff. But Chet didn't like it at all, but he thanked Herb for, you know, hiring him, giving him some money. So, yeah, Herb was a very nice guy. I have to say that about Herb. He was a very nice guy.
And he was one that stepped up when Chet was down. As you follow his career, there was the so-called comeback, which that's during the years that you knew him, but he seemed like he had multiple comebacks. You know, for example...
No. After he had the beating, Jim, there's only one comeback. He had no teeth, and I told him to try them and learn them. It took him a year and a half to get back in shape. Then he had to come back. After that, I got a recording day at MGM Verve with Mike Curb, and we did the thing called Blood, Chet, and Tears, playing Blood, Sweat, and Tears music, but Chet would be himself, so that went over quite big. And from there, you never look back. I mean, he just sailed back to the top again.
And so he did not have any downtimes even into the 1980s. He was still highly popular. When was he in prison back in Italy? Was that still in the 60s, right?
What happened? He was going on a television date, and he stopped at a gas station. He was under two doctors' care, and he was taking something like Pelphium. It was like injected into his arm, which would counteract the need for having opium. Oh, I'm not talking about heroin. Anyway, the gas station attendant knocked on the door, and he had called the police, and the police got shut out, and they said he had holes in his arms, like blood bleeding out of his arm, which is a lie. And the prosecuting attorney, here's the twist. The prosecuting attorney who was prosecuting Chet so fiercely, when Chet was released from that prison in Lucca, the guy committed suicide. He was a user himself, and he wanted to make Chet an example. He wanted to make Chet a poster boy of all the other guys who were doing drugs. They put Chet Baker in prison for 6 months solitary confinement, and the guy wasn't even guilty.
Wow, interesting backstory in that. And as we close it out, you knew him so well. What would you say is your favorite Chet Baker song, if you had to pick one?
I'm going to let you know what it is. Chet's all-time favorite song was he dedicated to his wife, Carol. It was Someone to Walk Over Me.
Wow, okay,
Someone
I love
to
that.
Walk Over Me.
And my favorite would be Time After Time or My Funny Valentine.
Yeah.
Well, if I had to pick two.
When Carol would come to see him in Lucca, he'd have his horn. He'd always play Someone to Watch Over Me. And it was his all-time favorite song, Valid, right there, Someone to Watch Over Me. And closing, Jim, can you say that my book is available on Amazon.com, like under the title Chet Baker, The Missing Years, at Amazon.com. They can get it.
Absolutely. And do you have a website or anything, sir, that you want to give out?
Yes. My website is ARTTFrank.com. And incidentally, I got the second T from Chet, because he had Art Pepper and Art Taylor in his book, and instead of getting confused, he said, I'm going to give you another T so I'll know who I'm calling. So he gave me another T. I went to Hollywood, paid $100, and had an official. So it's ARTTFrank.
Okay, well, that explains it. I was going to ask you about that. I'd never seen the second T, and that's another Chet Baker story that we learn of tonight. Chet Baker, The Missing Years, and it's available by Art Frank through Amazon.com. Art Frank, thank you so much for joining us. My pleasure and privilege to have you with us, sir.
You too, Jim. God bless you, man. And my website is ARTTFrank.com.
All right, very good. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Jim.
God bless you. Wow, fascinating interview with Art Frank. You know, if you haven't listened to Chet Baker, here's a free way that you can find out about his music. Go to YouTube, type in Chet Baker, and there's literally thousands upon thousands of videos. You're going to get hooked. You're going to be listening like me, Really one of the great jazz artists of the last 100 years. I mean, the guy is a legend. Check him out if you haven't heard him. Chet Baker. All right, if it's Sunday nights, it's Jim Paris Live. We'll be back next week. Talk to you then.
Hello, everybody. This is radio talk show host Jim Paris for FreeSurvivalGifts.com. If you're a survival buff like me and like to try out the latest survival gear and gadgets, then you're going to absolutely love FreeSurvivalGifts.com. At FreeSurvivalGifts.com, you will find a wide array of survival gear, books, and videos that are all 100% free. That's right, just pay your own shipping. Now, I know you're asking, why is all of this survival gear free? Well, the companies offering this gear are doing so as a way to promote their brand and introduce new products. Check it out today, FreeSurvivalGifts.com. Pick up one or more free survival items for you and your family. That website again is FreeSurvivalGifts.com. Check it out, FreeSurvivalGifts.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.